Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WIP. I'm Howard Eskin here at the Borgata. All right, let's take an early look at the Super Bowl. The prop bets are getting out of control. I guess every year they're out of control. We'll talk about that today and a little about the Super Bowl. I already like the Rams. I would absolutely have to stop in existence if I ever bet the Patriots. I'd have to stop. Mark, how are you today?
I think the only thing better, Howard, might be a Patriots playing in the Super Bowl and Notre Dame playing in the college football championship game on the same weekend. That might stop you in your tracks.
You know what? I wouldn't watch a sporting event that weekend. I would stop. Hey, Mark, how about this prop bet? I saw some of the prop bets here at the Borgata. The Pelicans' first quarter points at San Antonio Spurs versus the Rams, total points scored. And the Pelicans minus a half. They're the favorite. I mean, people got to think about some of these things. It's out of control.
Well, what they should call them is they should call them degenerate props. Because that's what they are. They're not Super Bowl props per se. Super Bowl props would pertain to the Super Bowl game. And just incidentally, if you're in Nevada, you can't bet a lot of these whacked out props, like how long will the national anthem be sung? What color of Gatorade will it be? You can't bet those in the state of Nevada. Only props that are allowed in Nevada are what is determined on the playing field in the games themselves. None of these freaky stats. So, and also, this other note here, I was talking with Jay Cornegay over at the Westgate Superbook this weekend. Over 60% of the handle, the entire handle that they expect to take on the Super Bowl, will be on props as opposed to the game itself.
I mean, it really is amazing. As far as the national anthem on what the time is, the over or under, the artist can determine that. If they have friends, you can say, and some places are taking those bets, you can say, okay, let's say it's 2 minutes and 42 seconds. The artist can determine whether they go longer than that. So if they have friends, you know, and they say, hey, listen, I want to bet this. And she or whoever it is can stretch it out. I mean, they can determine the outcome of that bet, that person, and that's not right. But that
absolutely. Yeah. You know, it goes hand in hand with the Oscar awards, where you know they stopped taking bets on those for a while because there were people seeing the votes before the votes were being announced. They've gone back to allowing you to bet on the Oscars, but the national anthem. Another story here is that I had heard is that at some point between now and the beginning of the Super Bowl game, they will suspend the national anthem vote on time because people are privy to auditions, and they're in the audition.
Oh, yeah,
they're
right.
Listening to them, and they're timing them.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have that inside track as well. So to try and keep an even playing field, they'll probably likely suspend the prop on the national anthem before the game begins.
All right, there's props on who's going to complete or whether a guy's got a completion or an incompletion his first pass. The props that have some kind of background in terms of looking things up, it's like number of passes, I guess, for a quarterback. You kind of look at the other team a little bit. What props would you look at?
Well, one prop that's interesting to me is this: the team that scores last win the Super Bowl. And it's interesting from the standpoint that 12 of the last 13 years, the team that has scored last in the game has indeed won the Super Bowl game. The only team that did not do just that was Super Bowl 47 when Baltimore played San Francisco. And if you remember, at the end of the game, the San Francisco punter ran out of the end zone with 4 seconds to go. just to ensure better field position for the final play of the game. Had that not occurred, that would have been 13 straight years in a row that the team who scores last wins the Super Bowl. And that's not a bad prop this year because you're not having to get gouged on the price. I think it's like minus $1.40. So you might want to consider that to be, I think, one of the leading props to look at. The team that does score last will win the Super Bowl.
Okay, what other props are you looking at?
Well, what I'm looking at here is involving scoring. And an interesting prop is which will be the higher scoring quarter, the second quarter or the fourth quarter? And when I broke this down this year, I looked at every team and what they scored quarter by quarter in every game they played. And when you do the math and you look at what the Rams have scored and what they've allowed in the second quarter here, they're plus 5 points a game in the second quarter. And if you look at the Patriots and what they've done in the second quarter, they're themselves plus 6 points a game. You look at the fourth quarter here, the numbers shrink. They get real close. New England's, the difference is only a half a point difference. The bottom line is the aggregate is much, much stronger. If you take a look at scoring in the second quarter as opposed to the fourth quarter. So bottom line here, teams who score in the second quarter are 14.5 points per game. In the fourth quarter, only 11.9. So you'd play the second quarter over the fourth quarter for higher scoring quarters.
The coin flip, obviously, there's no rhyme or reason to that. Completions. I mean, you look at, I know they have a prop bet here for at the Borgata, completions for a quarterback. You wonder how that game's going to play out. So you got to think about the number of completions and passes thrown. I don't know how I would break that down. I mean, that's just a guess, I guess.
Well, if you're looking at the tendencies of the quarterbacks, the one thing that has come to the forefront this year is in the playoffs, the first two playoff games by New England here, Belichick changed his game plan almost completely. Initially, at least in the first quarter, where he's running the football the first two plays and allowing Brady to pass on third downs in the first quarter of the games. So that's taking Brady out of the equation, if you will. Fewer passes for Tom Brady over the course of the game. Fewer points for New England in the first quarter of the game, of which, by the way, New England's only scored 3 points in 8 Super Bowls in the first quarter. They really, really struggle and get out slow. I think the way you look at the quarterback yardage here is one that Brady is getting a little longer in the tooth. You have a defense in Wade Phillips from the Rams that will go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady here in the football game. I'm also playing Jared Goff to win the MVP and not Tom Brady, largely because I don't think Tom Brady's going to win the Super Bowl game. But if you take a look at teams that go back to the Super Bowl that lost the year before, they've come up empty 5 times in a row going back to 75. Well, you got to figure that would diminish Brady's chances in this football game. So I think Brady's going to be underperforming in the football game because of Belichick's approach, wanting to run the ball. They're going to try to attack the Rams' defensive weakness, which is the linebacker position. They've only got one really good linebacker. So I think you'll see New England trying to run the football at the Rams in this game.
You know, so you like the Rams. I do, too. And if you like the Rams, then you can't take Brady as the MVP. So that, I guess that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, you get plus 250 with Goff, you know, on the other side. You know, if you look at the Super Bowl winners, 29 of the 52 Super Bowl winners have been quarterbacks, 7 wide receivers and 6 running backs. So, the odds obviously in the favor of the quarterback winning the Super Bowl trophy.
You know what? You said the team that lost in the Super Bowl, when they make it back the next year, they're 0-5 since 75. Three of those have been the Patriots, right?
Yes, they have. Yeah, they're the classic example of the teams that get there and just can't complete the job, circling back, doing just that. So, and one other sidebar note here: you mentioned about the coin flip. This is kind of funky. In Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, they reported that the coin flip, 88.9% of the bets they've taken on the coin flip have been on the heads. so far from the public. So
really?
Almost 90% of the public, gambling public, is calling heads for the coin flip, yes.
Yeah, but and how does it go on, how has it played out? It hasn't been that.
No, it's played out almost 50%, you know, so yeah. It's, you know.
It's just a bet to get you started.
That's here. All it is.
All
it's,
right.
To get those degenerate juices going. That's what it
all
is.
All right, I'm
going to
give you a real degenerate bet, and this provokes a little thought. The Grizzlies, this is here at the Borgata, Grizzlies total points scored against the Knicks. Now, you know the Knicks aren't a good team. Versus Julian Edelman receiving yards. Now, you'd say, well, you got to take the points, but there's an addendum to that. It's the Grizzlies are minus 17.5. So now you got to figure, are they score 110 points, so you take away 70, so that's 93 yards. You got to put a little thought into that. Somebody's going to bet that, and I have no idea which way I would go. Although I think the Rams are going to be a little smarter on Julian Edelman and not let him just be open all the time like happened against Kansas City.
I agree. I think they're going to try and keep Edelman out of play in the football game. And you know, so you, if you do the math, like you say, it comes out to what 92.5 points from. For Memphis in the basketball game, will Edelman have 93 receiving yards? I don't think so, because I don't think Brady will be the star of the game, and if he's not the star, it's likely Edelman won't be over his total as well.
How many players other than quarterbacks have been the MVP? Have you figured?
Well, you go to the MVP, the quarterbacks, as I mentioned here, 29 of them. There have been 7 wide receivers. There have been 6 running backs. There have been 4 linebackers. And there have been 3 others being safeties or defensive linemen. So, you know, there's not a lot. You could add up everybody else behind the quarterbacks, and you still have almost a 2-to-1 margin for the quarterbacks over almost everybody else.
All right. Do you have a basketball or basketball games for the people today?
Well, you know, they're doing Southeast Conference Big 12 matchups this week on ESPN, manufactured for ESPN. And there's a couple of games today that I would look at. What's happening here is the Southeast Conference, when they play the Big 12 in the regular season, they really struggle as favorites. They're only 37-57 to the spread. You've got 2 teams at home. You've got Mississippi at home against Iowa State. Mississippi is the best point spread team in college basketball this year at 15-3. But they started out at 14-1, and they're coming back to the pack. Iowa State can play basketball. They're a really nice team. They beat the money 11 out of 16 times this year. I like Iowa State plus 1.5 against Ole Miss in that game. The other one is the big game tonight, Kansas and Kentucky. You got Kentucky at home laying 6 to Kansas. Kansas has beaten Kentucky 3 straight games in a row, taking 6 points. I think it's an overlay there. So I look at Iowa State and Kansas in those 2 big Southeast Conference
you
Big
know what?
Matchups today.
So why the heck is Kentucky laying? That's one of those, boy, that line kind of jumps out of you. Kansas is a good team. Why is Kentucky laying 6?
Because Kansas has not been taking down the money this year. They've been struggling in their games. They've been playing underachieving, per se, if you will. And then they're also counting on this Kentucky revenge in the basketball game. But, you know, the bottom line is when you look at a team the caliber of Kansas in a basketball game who's not playing well, you can never discount them. Because they're not playing well for the moment here, they're you know this is a type of a team that can jump up and bite you at any time. And 6 points is a lot of points to lay to Kansas.
You know what? And a local game, and I love both coaches, St. Joe's and Penn. Penn is actually a very good team. And when's the last time that an Ivy League team was laying 6 against a Division I team? Although I know Penn's a Division I. Outside of the Ivy League. They're a 6-point favorite against St. Joe. But Penn is a good team.
Penn's a nice team. Joe's got the revenge. Penn beat them last year.
Yep.
Penn's coming off a big revenge victory at their last basketball game. And this could be a little bit of a slight for St. Joe's, feeling that chip on their shoulder, that respect play. They probably take the points with the Hawks in that game.
Okay, Mark. If people have interest in Mark's services, 800-321-7777. On the internet, playbook.com, or all kinds of great stats and trends and all this kind of the information in the App Store at Playbook Cube. Mark, you have a great weekend. I hate the Patriots. I despise the cheating. I would not be shocked if Tom Brady's taking funny vitamins. How do you throw the ball harder at 41 than you did at 35?
Yeah, something's going on. There's no question.
I'm just asking. It's just a question.
Well, we'll break it down in depth next week, regardless. But I know your side, but I'll break it down and tell you how I'm going to get to my side.
Okay. All right, Mark. Have a great week.
All right. Be good. Thanks.
All right.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.